church say amen.
Amen. Amen.
What a wonderful song to start the lesson. On my way to that fair land where the soul never dies. That's awesome. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how bad things can get, you gotta always remember there's a place, a mansion, there's a big old house that's being prepared for all of us who obey Christ and stay obedient to his word. We got a place coming. A good place coming. You know, Revelation tells us where there'll be no tears, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no sadness. All the things that plague us, you ain't got to worry about getting a trolley horse. You ain't got to worry about going to dentist no more. I mean, all that's, I ain't got to worry. No more worries. That person at work that may can't stand you or, you know, traffic. You ain't got to worry about that. You can fly. That's pretty awesome stuff. You know, the Bible gives us a little bit, but that little bit is great. The things that Jesus tells us what's coming is just awesome. And today's lesson is all about words. It's all about words that carry a lot of weight. I have 6 words up here. I started this year. It's not really a resolution. It's just something I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to learn a new word every day. And so every day I learn a new word, and it's just amazing how one word can have so much in it. You know, I want to share that with all of you of what I've been studying over the last couple of weeks. But we may pretend or forget what we say doesn't carry a lot of weight, but it does. You know that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you? It's a straight up lie. It's straight up lie. I'd rather get hit with sticks and stones. Because at least they'll heal. Because some words never do. Some words never do. People say a lot about Michael Jordan this, Michael Jordan that. Michael Jordan, people don't realize that he ended some people's careers with some of the things he said. You know, this one player, Muggsy Bogues, he was one of the shortest players ever. You know, one day they were playing them in Charlotte, and you know, Jordan had said to him, "Shoot it, you flippin' midget." Now, he didn't say the word flippin'. But, you know, and he missed the shot. And, you know, they interviewed him a couple weeks after, and his game was never the same after he said that. And then and from that point on, his numbers dropped. And then the next season, he retired. Because when you have people say that Michael's the greatest, and I believe he is, but when you are the greatest player and you are playing against the shortest player, imagine what you say to that person. The confidence that it just dropped him. Usually someone that great would be encouraging, say things humbling, say things nice. He says, "Shoot it, you midget." And that it crushed his confidence. And from that point on, he never played basketball the same. And it's a shame, because words kill. Words kill. There's some stuff on Facebook about someone broke up with this person. And they put on Facebook, "I'm about to end my life. I'm sorry, mother, I couldn't be the son or daughter you wanted me to." Because something happened in school. And they kill themselves over words. Over words. And it's amazing to me. But there's also some very encouraging words that can go a long way. You know, if you say to your husband or to your wife, "I love you" every day. You know, if you encourage them, say something good about what they're doing every single day, that can go a long way. All right? People don't realize it, but it does. And not being ashamed. And not being ashamed of it. Preaching. A lot of words when it comes to preaching, but those words are very powerful. You know, and Paul teaches us, the Bible teaches us that those who teach or preach should not be ashamed. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of the gospel." For all those believe, for the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But what we teach and preach according to the gospel is actually foolishness to the world. So, but we are not to be ashamed of who we are as Christians. That word means something. All right? That word Christian means something. And I want to show you an illustration here. All right? About what that word Christian meant. I think I've done this before, but maybe you have not seen this. But that fish that people have, I've showed some of you before, but I'm going to show you again. But this right here, they would do this as they were on their journey. All right? They would do this. Okay? Now, if I walked on my journey somewhere, and if I did this, and then you looked at me, and I didn't do anything, people would be like, okay, then, all right, they must not know. But if they did this, okay, you knew you was on good ground. Because this symbol, which looks like a fish, it also represents them being a Christian also. It was a safe passage to let you know that you was going somewhere that had saints. Someone that had Christians. Now, this was something that saved a lot of Christians' life. Because you never knew who you was around. So this was not just something they used, all right, to help them get from point A to point B. This saved their life as well. All right, and it showed them that they were a Christian. So this was something that they got persecuted over. But this is also something that they felt safe around. All right, so this has more of a meaning than you think. Now, really supposed to look like a fish? I don't know. I never understood that part, but I knew what it meant. All right. And also, like I said, it's the foolishness of preaching that saves us. It's the foolishness of preaching that saves us that the world says is foolishness. And Romans, I'm not Romans, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So what I'm saying to you is not foolishness because you believe. But me, by preaching to someone who doesn't believe, it is foolishness of the world. Because why would you believe in a God that allows genocide? Why would you believe in a God that allows people to kill other people, young kids and animals and children, put them in the ovens and, you know, and all these cruel things that they do to people. All these innocent people dying for no reason. All these diseases and all these cancers. Why would we believe in a God that allows these things to go on? All right, so it's foolishness to a lot of people to believe in God now because of what God allows. All right, and all those things that God allows, okay, one thing they do believe is, then you believe God is good. Because why would you say, why would God allow these things to happen? Then you have a belief that God is good. Alright? The best way for us to turn the world around is for you to change yourself. Because it's always easy to point the finger at someone else. And so looking at myself and saying, what can I do to change the world? Alright? So there's the foolishness of teaching that saves us. Alright? Now the first word I have up here is friable. Alright? This word friable, this is what it means. It means easily broken into pieces or reduced to nothing. That's what that word means. It means easily broken into pieces or reduced to nothing. Have you ever met anyone or know anyone that can say words that can do that to you? They can say words to make you break into pieces, into nothing at all. There are some people in this world that can try to make you feel like that. Alright? And we must be more confident than that and know that no matter what this person or what situation in your life is going on, you need to know yourself that God sees you as a prince. God sees you as a priest. God sees you as more precious than anything else on earth. We are royal priesthood. a peculiar people. We're not supposed to be ashamed. God has called us out of the darkness into his light. So don't let anyone, or give anyone the permission to make you feel less than what you are. Don't ever let anyone, don't even give them the permission. You have to give them that permission to make you feel like that. You have to allow it. And I'm telling you, don't allow it. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, I'm going to start at verse 3. All right, it says, grace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God has given me you by Jesus Christ. And in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed to you, so that you will come behind and no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall also confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of the Son of the Son Jesus our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that be no divisions among you, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Alright, so God wants us all to be together. He says he wants you to be blameless. Alright, and God is faithful by whom you are called in the fellowship, his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God sees you as his son, just as the son of God, Jesus. He sees you the same. Alright, and he loved Jesus more than anything. Okay, so even though some people may say these things to you, God sees you as his son. And he doesn't make any crap. Everything God makes, it lasts forever. All right? When Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, my words never pass away. As long as you stay abided by the word of God, he will always make sure you have a place. So don't let anyone make you feel that way. All right, the next word I have on here is rocketeer. All right, you know how that word entrepreneur, this is rocketeer. I think it's French. Because the way it rolls off raconteur, I don't know. I think it's French, all right? But a raconteur means a talented storyteller. Now, this can go both ways. This can go both ways. A lot of comedians are very good storytellers, all right? But there's also that kid or that daughter who can tell some stories. Oh, my goodness. You tell them. You know, you say start from the beginning. They start here, and then they can just all around, you know, and then they forget. Then they start over, and they go around this way. And, you know, by the time they get to the end, they're all over the wall, all right? So they can tell a whole lot of stories, all right? But then you got Jesus, that master storyteller, all right? They can tell you a story that's beyond imagining, but he always comes, he always breaks things down and make it something that you never heard before. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. I love Jesus' parables because they're timeless. They're always timeless. It doesn't matter what times we're in, they're always applicable. Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20. All right. But we're about to read about, it's not storytelling though, okay? What we're about to read about is not storytelling. I'm getting there. All right, I'm getting there. We're talking about what comes out of the mouth is what defiles and not what goes in. All right. Verse 18, it says, but those things where proceed out of the mouth comes forth the heart, and they defile the man. For what comes out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. All right. So basically what Jesus is talking about, those physical things that we put so much emphasis into, those are not the main things that God is usually concerned about. When he says here is that he's more concerned about the things of the heart. So, we know, we're not supposed to be keeping up of the Joneses. Like, there's some world investigator that's going to come to your house and say, since you didn't keep up with them, I'm going to deem you on life. Next year, I'm going to make sure this is bad for you. Who's going to come and do anything? We always compare each other to other people. We need to stop doing that. We need to be content with what we have. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. There's things that God's given you has not given to anyone else, and vice versa. It's no use. But there are some storytellers out there that will tell you, you need to have this and you need to have that. And that's not true. And sadly, a lot of these people are these televangelists out there. A lot of these televangelists out there want you to have your best life now. Well, that's not enough. It's not enough for you to have your best life now. You want to have your best life now and later. Not just right now. All right? Right now is not enough. Right now is not going to be enough. We need to have our best life now and our best life in eternity. A lot of these televangelists want you to have your best life now because that's all they got going. That's all they got going. All right? Jesus says many times, they have their reward. For those type of people, they have their reward. They're getting everything they get now. They got nothing coming later. Now, can they change? Absolutely. Absolutely. But they're going to also have to tell every single person they came in contact with that follow them, that I've been leading you astray. You need to follow the right ways of God. All right? And a lot of them don't have the gall to do that because look at how much they're getting. They won't change that. There's no way they'll give it up. Unless they love God more than the stuff. Alright? And we already read about the rich young ruler who was in a similar situation. Who was almost there. And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, do this, this, and this. He went away sorrowful because he had a lot of possessions. And he said, if you follow me, you will have treasure in heaven. How many of us are looking for that treasure in heaven instead of that treasure here? Alright? You got to watch it. All right, Matthew 21, we're going to read 28 to 32. Matthew 21, 20. All right, these are two sons I was trying to find this morning. I found it, all right? But watch this. Watch this. He said, what do you think? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he repented, and then he went. But then we have a storyteller coming. He came to the second son, likewise, and he said, and he answered, I go, sir. But he didn't go. All right, whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first one. And then Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom before you. All right, because he was talking about those Pharisees and those Sadducees that went against the teaching of Jesus because of what he was teaching in the temple. He was teaching people what was being revealed in the Old Testament. Jesus was revealing that. But when he was revealing that, what they came to the end of it is, faith is more important than the law. But people didn't want to believe that. They didn't want to believe that. They wanted to believe that the law was more important than faith, and that was not so the case. Alright? They were trying to slander his name and saying they're teaching people against God, and what he was really doing was fulfilling the law of God. All right, they didn't like that too much. This next word I have on here, watch this. Watch this word right here. It's called Zoilus. This word Zoilus, it means someone who takes joy in finding fault. Isn't that crazy? There's some people in the world that find joy in finding fault. You ever been to a restaurant? And you go to a restaurant and you go to a restaurant with someone who's very rude. And for some reason, They can always find something wrong with their food, something wrong with their drink, something wrong with their cup, something wrong with their plate, something wrong with their fork, something wrong with the bathroom, something wrong with the waitress, something wrong with the lights, something wrong with the TV. There's just something wrong about something. And it's not just the restaurant. This is everywhere. Everywhere they go. You go to a perfect house and they'll find something imperfect with it. They got a brand new car. Something wrong with my tires. Something wrong with my left hand signal. Something wrong with the speedometer. There's always something wrong. But guess what they're best at? Finding something wrong with you. You know anybody like that? They can't find nothing right. Everything is wrong. And they made this a habit. It's a very bad habit to have. All right? They was trying to find something wrong with Jesus. All right? Let's go to Matthew 22:15-22. I didn't realize that all these was in Matthew until now. Matthew breaks down all the problems. All right? This is when the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus with the taxes. All right? And he gets them good. It says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him the disciples and with Herodias, saying, Master, we know that you are true, that teaches the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, thou regardest not the person of man. So they just lie. They just lie. When they said, Master, we know you teach what is true. And then he just said that you neither care for any man, thou regardest not the person of man. So they just lied right there. Unless they're trying to say that God, that he has no respect of persons. Unless they're trying to say that. It says, tell us therefore, what think thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? So he's saying, is it lawful to follow the law? That's what he's really trying to say. Is it lawful to follow the law? Because what was the law? Was to pay taxes to Caesar. But they're asking, is it lawful to give tribute to the law, which is Caesar? They're asking, is that lawful? They're trying to find something to entangle him. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt me, you hypocrites? Why are you doing this? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him a penny. And he said unto them, whose image is on this subscription? Whose image is on the penny? And they say, it's Caesar. Then he said unto them, then therefore render Caesar, therefore unto Caesar, the things that are Caesar's, and to God things that are God's. Then they heard these things. They marveled and left him and went their way. They thought they could get him. They thought they can get him. Like, I don't see this fellow paying no taxes. Let me see if I can find a fault in him. But they had pleasure in that. They had pleasure in that. Now, these were the men who sit on Moses' seat. So they were the ones who the people was supposed to listen to. Now, what they told them to do was right. What the Pharisees told the Jews to do was right. But the things they did themselves was wrong. Now, I'm not going to talk about our government. I'm not going to do that. But the things the government tells us to do most of the time is right. But the things they do, I don't know. I'm going to leave that right there. Now, this next word here, I'm going to need help because every time I say it wrong. Anagapisis. I can't say it right. Anyone know how to say it right? Every time I say it wrong. Alright? But anyway, this is what it means. It says, no longer feeling any affection for the one you once loved. That's what that word means. It means losing affection for one you once loved. That's a very troublesome word. It's a very troublesome word because you could be with someone that you lost affection for. That you once had. Now, what's very crucial, there's people in the church that once loved God that no longer love Him the way they loved him before. And I can prove it. Let's go to Revelations chapter 2. This is a place that you should never put yourself in. Never put yourself in this position. All right? Revelation 2, I'm going to start at verse 1, read down. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things. He saith that he holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. He says, I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them that which are evil, that thou hast tried them, and they are they are apostles and are not, and are found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not finished. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly, and I will remove your candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. So, we can lose love for God. This is something we should never do. You want to keep your first love first. Like when we give. All right, God says give the first fruits of our gathering. He wants us to always give our first. And in 1 John, all right, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, he says something very, very similar. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. So, for God is love. All right? This next word, all right, it's a Spanish word. So, one of you can say it maybe better than me. Now, I think it says carencia. Now, am I right or wrong? Is it right?
Sounds
huh?
Good.
No, I'm trying to know, for real. Is it right? I said it right? Did I say it right? Okay, I know it right. I know I wrote it right. I also make sure I said it right. Did I say it right? Alright. I count for something today. Alright. This is a very powerful word. This is what this word means. It means the place for one rich strength is drawn, where one feels at home, a place where you're the most, authentic self. That's what that word means. The place where one's strength draws from. Now, if your strength draws from yourself, your strength is in the wrong place. Your strength needs to come from God, not from one's self. Now, we're going to stay in 1 John. We're going to go to chapter, chapter 4. All right? But we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Now, watch what it says. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Alright, I'm looking for this verse. Oh my goodness, I was reading the wrong one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said it right. I said it like it was right. I was first.
That was 1 John 5.
Yes. I know. See, the word world messed me up. All right. I'm looking for the one that says, he that's in you is greater in the world. Okay. Let me see. I thought I wrote it right. All right. 3 through 6. I was wrong. All right. Verse 4. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than that he that's in the world. So what he's saying here is, no matter what Satan put up, doesn't matter what kind of strength he has or what kind of wall or bridge he tries to put over you, the spirit that is in you is greater than the whole world itself. So that word, codentia, okay, should be the power of God that is in you, the Holy Spirit that is in you. That should be your codentia right there. All right? I love that word. It just rolls off. All right? The next word here, it's a sad word. All right? Antilophobia. It means the fear of imperfection. The fear of never being good enough. All right? That's the fear of never being good enough. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." All right? To have everlasting life. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 3. We're gonna end it in Romans. All right? We're gonna end it in Romans. And these verses always makes me feel good. All right? And this is why you should never compare yourself to anyone else. Romans 3, verse 23. All right? Talks about our imperfections. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So you don't need to fear not being good enough. Oh, I got a broken problem, so I can't get baptized. Oh, I got a drinking problem, so I can't get baptized. Oh, I'm addicted to this, so I can't get baptized. I got this problem, I got that problem. Everybody got problems. Problems don't end when you get baptized. Problems didn't start before you got baptized. It don't end. Ain't like you get baptized, you go straight to heaven. You still got to live here on earth. There's still people who want you to fall back. Satan wasn't eradicated after the flood. He wasn't eradicated. He did not eradicate sin by the flood. He just got rid of everyone that was doing sin. But guess what? Sin upsurfaced again after the flood. So where did Satan go? He was just waiting. Remember, he destroyed the whole world by flood. He didn't destroy sin. He just got rid of everyone that was sinning on the flood at the time. But guess what? One of Noah's sons or daughter, one of them started it up again. Because Satan was not eradicated. He was still here. All right? So don't be afraid of being perfect before you get baptized, because it's not going to happen. I've been in the body for almost 10 years, and guess what? I still struggle every single day. And I teach this stuff. I teach this and still struggle. So what makes you think? The Bible study, Jesus was trying to get through to Peter, and he was struggling doing that. Now, was Jesus perfect? Yes, absolutely. But guess what? He was teaching imperfect people. So you might be complete and you're preaching, and guess what? You're going to be teaching to incomplete people all the time. All the time. All right? Until we all come to the as one. But that's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. Do not be afraid of not being good enough. That was Romans 3:23. Last one I'm going to read is Romans chapter 5. All right? Verse 8. Watch what it says. It says, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So do not be afraid, all right, of being not good enough. There is no good enough. There is no good enough. But you can be obedient enough. You can be that. You may not always win, but you can always win the effort. You can always win the effort. You may fail every day, but you can always win the effort at doing better. Every day God gives us to get better. You can always win at that. You can have small victories here and there. All right? So, don't be afraid of being imperfect. God saved our imperfect self. Everyone sins. There's not a just person who always does right and never sins. It just don't happen no matter how good they are. No matter how, the only person, it was Jesus, was the only one. He was the only one. So if you're here today and you would like to become a member of the Lord's church, not the church you read about on the back of a milk carton, not the church you're going to see on a billboard, and not that church you're going to see outside of a grocery store. I'm talking about the Lord's church, the one where we speak what the Bible speaks and we're silent what the Bible is silent. We are Bible-teaching Christians, not Bible-outside-teaching Christians. The words that I spoke today came out of the Bible. Yes, I'm using words from all over the world, but I'm explaining them verse by verse with the Bible. All right? So if you want to become a member of the Lord's church, first thing you must do is hear the gospel. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then you must believe what you heard. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is reward of those who diligently seek him. And then you must repent. God is not slacking in accordance to his promise, as though man counts slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not that any should perish, but all shall come to repentance. God wants us to repent, because with a new repent, with change of mind results in change of action. A change of action is you confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. You must publicly pronounce that Jesus is the Son of God. If you confess Jesus, he will confess you before his Father. But if you deny him, he will deny you before his Father in heaven. Then we all must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Then said to Peter, what must we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, all of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you do not receive remission of your sins, it means that you still have them. If there's anyone today who want to respond to the invitation, they can do it right now. We stand and sing the song.